friends, it is Tuesday, January 22nd, 2013. This is Spengola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spengola. I'm coming to you from the cold, cold suburbs of Chicago. Thanks for joining me today on RBN, for people who can handle the truth. RBN's website is republicbroadcasting.org. To see the guest lineup and relevant links for this program, please visit spengola.com. Click on the radio schedule button, then the appropriate month. You will see a lot of very, very interesting links associated with each guest that will help to contribute to your knowledge about that particular day's discussion. For today's program, I have a few links and we'll add some more. During the program, you may email your comments and questions to Spengola1 at yahoo.com. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website or by going to spengola.chatango.com. We will take calls in the second hour after we open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. My guest today is Karen Udes, that is H-U-D-E-S, and her website is kaudes.net. Welcome to the program, Karen.
Thanks, Deanna.
So you attended law school at Yale and economics at the University of Amsterdam. You worked in the U.S. Export-Import Bank of the United States from 1980 to 1985 and in the legal department of the World Bank from 1986 to 2007. Then you decided to become a whistleblower.
Well, I didn't actually decide to become a whistleblower. I actually consider myself to be a professional lawyer. Before I went to the U.S. Exim Bank, I was working on Wall Street as a securities lawyer, and I was just doing my job all the way through, and that's what I think I'm still doing.
Okay, so you are simply doing what an honest, ethical person would do under the circumstances.
Well, it's not just under the circumstances. When you're a lawyer, you get licensed. I'm licensed in New York, and I'm licensed in the District of Columbia. And there's rules of professional conduct for lawyers. And the SEC has rules for people who are working with a company that issues stocks and bonds. And I knew those rules. I knew them inside out. And I'm just playing by the rules, going by the book. And I think the most important thing about what I'm doing is everybody seems to be agreeing. And when I say everybody, I mean 188 countries. Those people want me back in the World Bank. They've made it clear, and the government of Germany is making it even more clear. A couple of days ago, they said they were taking all their gold back, not all, a lot of their gold back from the Federal Reserve, and that's what they did because they knew. I've been in contact with many, many governments as this saga has unfolded, and they knew that the court was refusing to recognize the decision of the Board of Governors. That's a pretty heavy thing. So,
Which court?
It's in the federal court, the Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia,
okay. And that is run by lawyers.
that's the official court of the United States, the federal government.
So not all lawyers obey the rules, apparently.
Well, that's important for people to recognize. And
yes.
One of the things, Deanna,
Karen, yes. I'm sorry to interrupt, but we do have to take a real quick break, and we will pick this up on the other side of the break. Be right back.
Introducing Michael Anthony's Private Stock Herbal Formulas, Infection Killer for all infections, viral, bacterial, fungal, parasitic. My Rapid Heal for all injuries enables the body to mend super fast. My System Toner, the Rejuvenator, tune-up for the entire body, head to toe, keeping it youthful, the mind positive and focused. Dragon Juice, the Revitalizer. pure power in a delicious drink. If your body's dragging, you need Dragon Juice. Lung formula for asthma and all lung afflictions, arthritis fix, great-tasting herbal teas, and more. Michael Anthony's private stock exclusive herbal formulas. To find out more, call 845-231-1094 or email michaelanthonysprivatestock@yahoo.com. Michael Anthony's private stock exclusive herbal formulas.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123crooks.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are: incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up. And you'll be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123crooks.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123crooks.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123crooks.com before they force me to shut it down. 123crooks.com.
Are you facing foreclosure? Worried about late payments? Fight back and stay in your home. Zero Debt Guaranteed can help. We'll send you a free ebook just for calling 800-477-9256. Or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Get the details on how to remove your risk to your debt. And so important to many homeowners today, how to stop foreclosure.
Forget loan modification.
The Zero Debt in 90 Days system can show you how to get the bank to pay your property taxes and insurance while stopping your foreclosure.
Without paying one dime.
You can take control. Stop foreclosure. Protect your cash, assets, wages, property, and sleep peacefully at night.
We've been helping people for over 18 years.
Call Zero Debt Guaranteed, 800-477-9256. Ask for free information, no obligation. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com now.
And our guest today is Karen Hudes, and her website is K-A-Hudes, H-U-D-E-S, K-A-Hudes.net. All right, Karen, you were going to tell us about Germany and Germany's gold, and so pick it up from where you left off.
Right. What I was actually going to say, Deanna, is that there's a lot of agreement that we have. I've been reading your books, and you've been talking about the importance of the states in our federal government, and I want you to know that when the problem that we're going to be talking about didn't get itself resolved, I went to all 50 attorneys general and also the attorney general in the District of Columbia, who played a very important role because in the World Bank, and of course your listeners know that when there's corruption, it's usually the insiders in an organization that see this corruption first and report it. That's documented. That's very well documented. And so when all kinds of things were going haywire in the World Bank, and, for example, documents were getting falsified, you can't falsify documents when a company is issuing $135 billion worth of bonds. And there are many bondholders of the World Bank in the 50 states. And so I went to the attorneys general under their blue sky laws, and I said, this is an issuer which is not in compliance. We don't know what their real financial situation is. Their financial statements are not reliable because anybody who reports corruption is punished. And U.S. Congress had been onto this problem. Senator Lugar, especially, had been holding hearings on this, and what happened was, for example, borrowers were being overcharged on their interest bills, And when the accountants in the accountant department in the World Bank saw this problem, they got fired. Now, when I was fired in retaliation, and this didn't happen quickly, I went to Senator Lugar and the other senators on the Senate Committee on Foreign Relations, and at the time, Senator Clinton was one of the members, and also Senator Obama was one of the members under Senator Biden.
Okay, so this would have been what year?
This was in 2006, and okay. I had been keeping all of the various committees in the U.S. Congress informed, and I'm happy to tell our listeners that Congress is with me on this problem. And so and when the World Bank came to Congress and asked for money for a capital increase, Congress put some very strong conditions on there. Not only did they say this was a condition, but they said that they were requiring the Treasury Department to report on the condition before a penny of the appropriation could be spent. And so when Secretary Geithner lied to Congress, on November 21, he gave a report that said that there was substantial progress in how the World Bank was treating its whistleblowers. I went right back to the Appropriations Committees on December 20th, and I'll read you the first sentence of my report. I said, the Treasury Department should be sanctioned for its report to the Appropriations Committees dated November 21 on World Bank reform pursuant to the Consolidated Appropriations Act. The uncertified report is inaccurate in all material respects. And so one of the things that the Treasury Department said was that the World Bank had sound finances. And I said in my report to the Appropriations Committees, after the SEC failed to respond appropriately to an inquiry about improper accounting from the UK's Serious Fraud Office, on March 29th, the Economic Affairs Committee of the UK House of Lords recommended that funding to the World Bank should be reduced while a more detailed reevaluation is carried out. Now, I made two statements to the UK Parliament, and this didn't just happen. This happened because there was another person who was working for the International Finance Corporation of the World Bank who reported the same kind of problems with the accounting and the inaccurate financial statements, and she was fired in retaliation. There is a dream team of whistleblowers at the World Bank. We have found each other, and we're kicking the soccer ball down the field. There's one of us from India. There's one of us from Korea. There's one of us from Mexico. There's one of us from Ethiopia. And we're going to all of our governments, and we have been keeping the governments very accurately updated. Now, in terms of the German government, I had two German colleagues in the legal department. One of them I wrote a law journal article with, and that lawyer is on a first-name basis with Angela Merkel. The other lawyer has been writing regularly to the ambassador in Washington, and so have I. So everything that I'm telling the listeners, all of the countries know. And the only thing that's been really confusing is why this this is something which your listeners are probably hearing for the first time.
What is the World Bank doing that needs to be examined? I mean, obviously, you mentioned that Geithner was lying, which I think is a given. I think he really can't. You can tell by looking at his face he's lying as soon as he opens his mouth. And not that that's always indicative of something. But the World Bank, what exactly are they doing, and who's behind it? Who is behind the corruption? You mentioned the top level, the so-called insiders.
Well, let's start out with why the World Bank was created and when it was created and who was the prime mover behind the World Bank being created. That was Lord Maynard Keynes.
Right.
He was worried that all of the terrible tragedy of World War II was the economic forces that had contributed to that war were going to keep happening. And so he wanted the Bretton Woods institutions, that's also the International Monetary Fund, he wanted a whole slew of organizations to be set up to try to find a way for people to resolve their problems without having to go to war. And so the main reason the World Bank was set up as part of the financial infrastructure was to prevent future wars. And that's what we're talking about right now, Deanna, because one of the things about the World Bank is it's a knowledge bank. The World Bank finances projects in developing countries, and these projects are supposed to give good advice and information and equipment to help these countries stay part of the world network. And so people that have very, very good information or systems come to the World Bank and try to get us to incorporate that into their projects. And one group that came to the World Bank had a very accurate stakeholder analysis using computer game theory modeling. And so in 2004, I went together with this, I guess you'd call it stakeholder analysis, to Ghana to see why Ghana wasn't going to adopt a freedom of information law. And I asked this company whether they would give me a freebie. And so we modeled rule of law in the world. And what that predicted was that if the U.S. didn't play by the rules, it was going to lose the ability to appoint the president of the World Bank. Now, there was something called the Gentleman's Agreement, which was that the U.S. was going to appoint the president of the World Bank, and the Europeans were going to appoint the managing director of the International Monetary Fund. And the International Monetary Fund is supposed to keep exchange rates in balance so that trade can be financed without disruption. And the IMF has a lot of other functions associated. But anyway, the important thing is that when there's a currency problem, a very bad imbalance, this is something which countries, rather than go to war about, they ought to be able to resolve. And so these problems that I'm reporting, and I know I'm giving a long-winded answer to your question, but when you say who's behind the corruption, I think it's capital. This is unregulated capital. This is money which nobody knows where it is or who owns it, and it's sloshing around at the top of the financial system, and it doesn't want any regulation. And so when the organizations that are set up to try to keep the world financial system in, countries from getting into fights, food fights, so what's going on now, Deanna, when the Germans sent this very, very strong signal? The Chinese sent a signal that was just about as strong back in October when there was a meeting in Tokyo of all of the 188 countries that belong to the Bretton Woods institutions. China boycotted the meeting. And the reason they did this, there was all kinds of misinformation. The reason they did this is what we're talking about. The corruption is that the people that are working in these organizations, that are trying to do what the organizations were set up to do, they're not allowed to do their job without interference. They're told what the party line is, and that party line is not what the organization was created to do. It's a different agenda.
Right.
And that's not a good thing.
Right. All righty, we do need to go to a break. We'll be right back.
Right now, food is everywhere. If you want it, you can buy it. For now. When the coming crisis occurs, how will you feed your family? Will healthy nutrition be available? The answer is probably no. Jeff Lawton will show you how to survive the coming crisis in an abundant way with permaculture. Jeff Lawton is a permaculture designer, teacher, and consultant who has shown people like you, people in 35 countries around the world, people who want to know what they can do to survive the crisis that they see approaching. There is an absolutely free video online that will help you discover how to survive by giving you step-by-step instructions in establishing food forests that will help you become survival confident. Log on to jefflawton.org right now. This free video will only be available for a limited time. That's jefflawton.org. G-E-O-F-F-L-A-W-T-O-N.org. Survival is not optional. Visit jefflawton.org today. Are you prepared? Are you ready? You should be. CampingSurvival.com is your source for camping supplies, survival gear, and survival food. Whether you are an emergency preparedness-minded individual interested in MRE, a hardcore hiker in need of paracord, a water filter system and fire piston, or you just need a basic first aid kit or emergency kit for the family, CampingSurvival.com is the right place. Call CampingSurvival.com today, toll-free at 800-537-1339. CampingSurvival.com. It's not about the end of the world. It's not about surviving a hypothetical plane crash. It's about the satisfaction you get knowing you can take care of yourself and or your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. Visit CampingSurvival.com now and receive 5% off any purchase with the code FREEDOM. CampingSurvival.com.
Extend your life.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendivite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendivite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a two-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Karen Hudes. That's H-U-D-E-S. Her website is kahudes.net. Karen, as I understand it, there were two opposing plans at Bretton Woods in 1944. There was the White Plan, which was drafted by Harry Dexter White, who was a communist and belonged to the Council on Foreign Relations. And then the Keynes Plan, developed by a Marxist, John Maynard Keynes, who was the author of The General Theory of Employment, Interest, and Money, which he wrote in 1935, and that both plans called for an international agency purportedly to promote cooperative competition in the world commerce and ensure that the international flow of capital encouraged trade. So we're talking about a one world bank, correct?
Well, there were lots of plans, but I'd like to read from a statement that John Maynard Keynes made at the end, and what he said was that this conference of 44 nations that gathered after World War, or actually, they started making plans towards the end of World War II.
July 1st to July 22nd, 1944 is the conference dates.
Right, and he said, we owe a great debt of gratitude to our lawyers, and he said that there was a lot of teamwork on this. Let's see if I can find the exact place in the line. I'm just reading stuff on lawyers. And I guess the reason I had highlighted the stuff on lawyers is just to let people know that all the lawyers of the world know what I'm telling you all. There's an organization called the ILAC, International Legal Assistance Consortium, that's headquartered in Sweden, and the American Bar Association belongs to that. These are lawyers who are trying to help countries that are, having a lot of difficulty. All the countries in the world, all of the ministers of finance know about what I'm talking about. today, and you had asked the question about illegality. What is the illegality? The illegality is that there's no confidence in the World Bank financial statements because anybody that tries to correct an error is fired without recourse. So when I was fired, and the Senate wrote three letters to the World Bank saying, don't fire this lady, they had adopted legislation saying that people inside the World Bank who are reporting corruption or trying to correct inaccurate financial information ought to have access to independent arbitration, because you can't go to a court if you're fired illegally, if you've been working at the World Bank. But since I'm a lawyer, I knew what I needed to do, and I bought a World Bank bond. So when I went to court against the World Bank for retaliation and illegal firing, I went there not as an employee. I went there as a bondholder who was entitled to accurate financial information. And I've been working with the former controller of the World Bank. He was also the controller at the European Union. I testified at the European Union. So I'm, you know, I am a whistleblower, but I'm very much plugged in to the legal machinery of the organization. And what happened in my appeal was I made a public statement that the current lawyer for the World Bank was not representing the interest of the World Bank and therefore shouldn't be allowed to manage that litigation anymore. And the day after that was when the appeals court issued a judgment. It was, you know, it was a very quick judgment, and they didn't follow the rules. You're supposed to give a reason when you dismiss a case. And they said, we're just doing it for all the reasons of the lower court. And you're not allowed to do that. That it just didn't wash. And so the Board of Governors told the Court of Appeals, hey, listen, never mind about your wacky decision, which didn't follow the rules. We have resolved this case ourselves. The case is settled. And then the clerk of the court affirmed the decision of the panel. And, you know, I don't want to tell you in great detail all of these legal issues. That you can see them on my website if you're interested. But one of the things that's interesting about my website is somebody tried to take my website down. Somebody also tried to crash my computer the day before a filing deadline in the Court of Appeals. So I went to the FBI, and I reported this. That's illegal. And when the FBI didn't do anything about it, I went to the National Center on White-Collar Crime. Now, that's specifically for crimes on the Internet. So all of the law enforcement agencies know about what I'm telling you as well. This is something which I think is not going to continue as a problem that you're hearing about for the first time. I think this is something that's definitely going to be resolved in a very systematic, lawful way. But it certainly helps for your listeners to know about this, and I'm very grateful to you, Deanna, for putting this on the air. The National Taxpayers Union has also been playing a very big role. There are organizations in all of the 50 states composed of taxpayers. And the taxpayers, when they saw that the Congress had put this condition in, I guess we're going to have a break now.
Right. we'll be right back in 3 minutes for a longer segment here. Be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Wouldn't you agree? Healthy people are happier and more productive. Obesity is the root cause of many health problems. Do you want to lose weight safely, look sexy and attractive without side effects and no chemicals? Lose weight without the side effects safely with Zeno's Organic Dietary Supplements. Made in the USA, 100% USDA certified organic. Visit www.zenos.com. That's www.zenohs.com. Try our products risk-free for a limited time offer. No purchase necessary. You only pay shipping and handling. Get your old, sexy body back now. Visit Zenos.com. Get your free supplements now. Visit Zenos.com right now. www.zenohs.com. That's www.zenohs.com. There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
An effective, 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available to be shipped out to you, rush delivery. Heart and Body Extract is a 100% natural, organic, and wild-crafted formula made out of garlic, hawthorn berries, hawthorn leaves, coleus, motherwort, bilberry, butcher's broom kelp, mistletoe, ginger, and cayenne pepper. It is an excellent formula designed to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Order your 2-month supply by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. Take the high road to a long and happy life. HeartAndBody.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Karen Hudes, H-U-D-E-S. Her website is kahudes.net. And she does have some very interesting things on that website. Could you tell us exactly what the function of the World Bank is? It seems like it's a dangerous concentration of the world's wealth. And I'm kind of concerned about the people who control that wealth. And you also mentioned that certain countries had trouble. Isn't the reason that they have trouble is because the larger countries with a lot of military power seem to have a problem about keeping their hands to themselves when it comes to the assets of other smaller countries that do not have the kind of military protection against larger countries?
Very good questions, Deanna. It all depends when you're answering that question, talking about the World Bank. It's a cooperative. It's owned by all the people of the world, and if there was good, transparent information, this wouldn't be such a problem, because if some of the larger countries couldn't keep their hands to themselves, the whole world would know about it, and they would be shamed into it. And what I've been trying to do is simply that, to get a very clear, accurate picture to all the people in the world what's going on behind the cloak of secrecy at the World Bank. So it's not so much that the World Bank is concentrating wealth that's the problem per se. The real problem is that the laws aren't being applied and people don't know what's going on. And that's what makes it dangerous.
Is that because the same group of people own the media, and they're not going to have any transparency at the World Bank or anywhere else?
Absolutely, and that's why the Internet is so important. The Internet was one of the ways that I was able to find some of the whistleblowers, and there are some other whistleblowers who are listening to this program. One of them I'll mention, that's Mark Novitsky, and there's also a whistleblower, not so much a whistleblower, but a young man, Aaron, I'm trying to remember his last name, who was prosecuted for trying to make the Internet a secure place to get information. He was the one that invented RSS. So, well,
I hope he doesn't commit suicide.
He did. That's exactly the whole point,
Deanna. Okay. Is that the same Aaron?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so...
So he was murdered, actually.
whatever it is. I can tell you, I don't want to get people duly concerned, but there was a long period of stretch of time that I was getting nails in my tires. I was getting strange phone calls. I couldn't go on a flight without some weird person sitting next to me. But in any event, we won't take that path. I do want to say that the law is a very important tool for everyone, and we're using this tool, and the law will prevail. And that's why I don't think your listeners need to be duly concerned, because although they may not know or they're hearing about this these issues for the first time, the Congress has known about it from the get-go. So I wanted to read you an email that I sent to Kenneth Peel, who was in the Treasury Department in 2008. Dear Mr. Peel, Senator Lugar's office suggested that I contact you about an escalating perception that the United States does not respect rule of law in its oversight of the World Bank. Now the members of the World Bank's board are subjected to intimidation for trying to restore rule of law at the bank. Mr. Russell Monk, Mr. Monk worked in the Treasury Department's legal department, is fully aware of the failure by the U.S. to address internal control lapses. That's lawyerese for things that don't make sense. In the cover-up of the bank's supervision mistakes on the Philippines banking sector reform loan and persecution of the whistleblower who brought this to light, the World Bank has continued to stonewall and failed to respond to three letters from the U.S. Senate on this scandal, which the Volcker panel only finessed by removing whistleblower retaliation cases from the mandate of the Institutional Integrity Department. That's a goon squad in the World Bank that would fire anybody who tried to tell the board what was going on. And you can imagine that all the taxpayers of the world who are financing the World Bank, it's a world cooperative, we're not happy to know that somebody was actively trying to prevent information from getting to their board. And what happened specifically in the case of the Volcker panel investigation, Paul Wolfowitz had a girlfriend who worked at the World Bank, and she got a huge salary increase, 35%, a couple of months after he became the president of the World Bank. And so the board fired him. And what happened to the board members? Do you remember what happened to Governor Spitzer, Elliot Spitzer in New York?
Yeah, he got outed. They keep some dirt on everybody that they need to control.
And
of course, he'd been engaged in that kind of activity for a long time. They just didn't have any need to use it against him. And as soon as he wanted to do some investigations, then all of a sudden they bring out all of his dirty laundry. And that same corporate media made certain that everybody in the country knew everything that he'd ever done wrong.
Well, see, I speak Dutch because I studied in Holland, remember? So I happened to be in Holland when the man who represented the Dutch government went public with the information that he was being blackmailed for trying to fire Paul Wolfowitz. And then the next day there was a television program for his predecessor. It was Herman Wijfels, who was the current executive director, and Ed Melkert, who had been his predecessor. And they asked Ed, they said, were you having the same problems as Herman Daifels? And he said, yeah, but, you know, I'm a boring guy. They couldn't really find anything on me. So when I went back to Washington, I said, my God, I said, they're blackmailing other countries' ambassadors. And that was what I said to the Senate Committee on Foreign Relations. I said, these guys aren't going to forget that. What, you know, what do we think we're doing? And the thing that's so interesting to me, Deanna, is that the American people would be horrified to know that we were blackmailing other countries' ambassadors.
Oh,
and what were these ambassadors
doing?
They were firing a man who gave his girlfriend an exorbitant pay raise.
I think the American, what you call taxpayer, I think the American public is aware of all this stuff, and they've known about the U.S., a lot of the U.S. shenanigans for quite a long time, and they feel helpless to do anything about it because Congress doesn't represent the American people. They represent the same cabal of people.
Well, don't forget, in this case, Deanna, they did their job. They put conditions on the World Bank appropriations, so they were home. They did do their job. And so what you now have is you have a situation which was predicted by that stakeholder analysis I was telling you about.
Uh-huh.
That stakeholder analysis talked about rule of law, and it said that if I could get one country to back me, that there was going to be rule of law. In other words, this kind of shenanigans wasn't going to continue. And that country, I got more than one country. So England posted my testimony on this problem twice. And then what happened was the Prime Minister of England gave an interview here in Washington. and this interview was, you know, I got through to CBS, and I told them what was going on, and they humiliated Mr. Cameron during the interview. and they fired the man who had been the minister for international development. So this problem is not going to continue. The only question is really how gracefully and smooth the transition is going to be, because the stakeholder analysis that I'm telling you about is 90 to 95% accurate. And now that my testimony is with the UK Parliament, and they fired their Minister of Development, and we have to start talking about the auditors, because at one point I met with, this was when they were allowing me to go back into the World Bank. They locked me out of the building in 2009, which that was what gave me the right to begin my lawsuit. I couldn't just buy a bond. I had to have a cause of action. And there's a rule in Sarbanes-Oxley that you have to bring your action within a certain amount of time. So when they locked me out of the building, that gave me a cause of action and allowed me to sue the World Bank. So anyway, I sued the World Bank, but I had met with the chairman of the audit committee, and I said, you have to commission an audit on internal controls. And they did that. Actually, the Senate had asked for that audit, and somehow that condition, this was a condition that Senator Bai had put in on an earlier appropriation bill for the World Bank. Somehow during reconciliation, that requirement got dropped. But so then the World Bank Audit Committee put that condition in. And so I was suing KPMG for not following audit standards. And now there's an investigation by the UK Financial Reporting Council against KPMG. Not only that, but when the Senate asked for GAO to do an audit of the World Bank, GAO pulled out. And they gave as an excuse for why they were pulling out, they said the World Bank wasn't cooperating. So I went to something called the International Organization of Supreme Audit Institutions. That's all the GAOs of the world. And I said, you know, look at this mess. this is everybody's money in the whole world, and nobody knows where it's going. It's obviously going in the wrong direction, because anybody who's from the inside sees that the money's not going where it needs to go, gets fired. So who's going to report that the money's being that there's audit problems?
Well, I think probably most of the people in the world have no idea that money is their money. And I believe that that the World Bank actually uses that money to blackmail and to manipulate other countries, as John Perkins defines in his book, Confessions of an Economic Hitman.
Isn't that a wonderful book?
It's a fabulous book, as was his second one, but not quite as revealing as his first one.
Deanna, is it's not totally corrupt. There are people in that organization, most of them actually, that want to do the right thing. It's just that the rotten apples are getting their way because they're breaking the rules. And if the board, as they have done, sends a very strong signal by taking the money out of the New York Federal Reserve, you better believe they're going to start playing by the rules, and that's going to have profound impact everywhere.
Okay, is that what Germany is doing in order
yes.
to influence? Okay.
Yes, that's why they did that.
Okay, so tell us exactly what Germany did and why she did it.
Okay, well, let me start out by saying that, what they did, they took, and I don't have the article in front of me, but you can get it by Googling gold in Germany. They took a significant amount of gold, which was on deposit in the New York Federal Reserve, and they took it home, or they're taking
right.
it
now,
home.
Now, when was this put into the Federal Reserve? Do you know what year that happened?
I can get back to you on that. I honestly don't know, but I think it's been there for a very, very, very long time. And the important thing about that stakeholder analysis I was telling you about is it said the U.S. has come to a fork in the road. We can choose rule of law and our transatlantic alliance, or we can choose corruption, and there's going to be bedlam. Well, we're not going to choose corruption, not if we can tell everybody what's going on, and that's why your show is so important, and that's why I'm so delighted to be here.
I'm sorry. The rule of law applies to governments. But in fact, the United States is a corporation, and Obama is currently the CEO of the corporation. And is the Supreme Court, you know, all of these are corporations. Each state is a corporation. And so the rule of law doesn't really apply to corporations.
Well, let's talk about law, okay?
Okay.
Law is many things. It's what's written on the books, and that's sometimes, unfortunately, different from what's enforced, unless for some reason what's on the books shouldn't be there in the first place. But the thing about law is that if it's a rule of law, the law on the books is something that the people themselves want to see, want to follow. And it's something which, if they don't like, they can change and fix. And law is something which we've inherited from our ancestors for our benefit. If it's good law, and if it's not good law, we should learn about why it's not good law, and we should work within the system to change it in a way that makes everybody happy. And that's what a well-governed country does.
Well, we're not a well-governed country. We are governed by a bunch of people that lied and cheated their way into office to paper their own pockets and to live off the system. They're a bunch of parasites, and they do not represent the American people.
But sometimes they recognize just how important a problem is, and they rise to the occasion.
Like what?
And that's
like
what that's what the Congress has done in this case. When they appropriated the money for the World Bank capital increase, they put a condition in there which is very crystal clear. It said until there's substantial progress in whistleblower protection and making whistleblowers whole, they're not going to get a penny of that capital increase. So it's a mixed bag. And some, you know, take Senator Lugar, for example. He's been a leader in all of this. And one of the interesting things I'd like to tell you, Deanna, is sometimes politicians rise above themselves for reasons they don't know. I didn't tell you about what happened in the Philippines. I was the country lawyer for the Philippines after the East Asia crisis, and they went ahead and elected a man, Joseph Estrada, who, you know, he was a mixed character. He, one night at a, I don't know, some kind of a cocktail party, he appointed a wonderful man as his chief justice, Hilario Davide. And then at another point in time, he was gambling, and he sold his bank, Philippines National Bank, to a borrower who owned Philippine Airlines and didn't pay the loans to the bank.
Interesting. All righty, we do have to take a real quick break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dry guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dry guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dry guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of a pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay. All the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley. An area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species. All gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Theravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Theravim? Simple. Theravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to Theravim.com. That's Theravim.com. Theravim, the best supplements on earth.
All righty, we are back. I am Deanna, and my guest today is Karen Hudes, H-U-D-E-S. Her website is kahudes.net. And you were talking about Lugar, Senator Lugar, and I mean, he's a globalist. He belongs to the Council on Foreign Relations. He promotes the Law of the Sea Treaty. I can't imagine that he would do any more than just apply a little Band-Aid here and there just to make himself look good, like the rest of them do.
Well, there's something called the Joint Economic Committee, and they've been coming down real hard on the World Bank. Uh, this This is a committee of both the Senate and the House. And
they're reporting that on the news on every channel?
No. But let me tell you about a letter that they wrote to the World Bank on April 8th, 2005. And if anybody wants to read it, they can find it on my website. And in that letter, they referred to corporate governance irregularities, and they wanted the World Bank to give them documents showing, quote, that employees who inform senior management and the board of serious internal problems do not face retaliation. And I've been in touch with the Joint Economic Committee, and let me just read you excerpts from a letter that I wrote to them in November 2007. And getting back to what we were talking about before the break on the Philippines, I had requested the World Bank's country director to warn the Philippines government that the World Bank could not disperse the loan due to the corrupt takeover of Philippines National Bank. In September, an anti-graft court in the Philippines required former President Joseph Estrada to return commissions he earned from the sale of pension fund stock in Philippines National Bank. Peter Steck, the former Dutch executive director and chair of the board's committee on development effectiveness, has stated, Karen has bitten into a case of failure of the bank, harm to a country, cover-up, failure of evaluation, failure of controls, and threatening failure of the board, audit committee, to take up the issue. The corollary is not hard to envisage. The bank runs the risk of being caught with its pants down in an area where it's lecturing the developing world on how to dress, and the whistleblower, who has not whistled in public, that was before I started whistling in public, is at imminent risk of being dismissed due to failure of the checks and balances in the bank meant to protect individuals, the integrity directorate, the ombudsman, the tribunal, the president himself. And that's the end of that quote. As the cover-up proceeded, I warned the U.S. State and Treasury Departments about the possible consequences. A highly accurate stakeholder analysis predicted 3 years ago that the World Bank's Board of Directors would take back the authority delegated to the president if he did not respect rule of law at the bank. The analysis uses modern game theory to simulate a bargaining process among stakeholders, predicts how they will shift their positions, and assesses the level of consensus in support of a particular outcome. I won't bore you by reading the rest of the letter. All of these documents I'm talking about are on my website. But I do want to say that that stakeholder analysis is now predicting a currency war if we don't start playing by the rules.
All righty. We do have to go to our 60-second top of the hour break. We will be right back after station ID and a word from a sponsor or two.